through life's garden. Time now for the Eclectic Lunch right here on CITR, broadcasting from the picturesque promontory known as Ulksan, a land traditionally shared by the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people, and now home to the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. More radio comedy for you on the lunch today. This time we're going back to the mid-1950s for a trailblazer of British comedy, The Goon Show. Over a period of 10 years, The Goon Show, starring Peter Sellers, Spike Milligan, and Harry Secombe, was both very popular and ahead of its time. Even King Charles III was a fan. It inspired a whole generation of writers and comedians. Without the Goons, we wouldn't have The Pythons, Hitchhiker's Guide, The Young Ones, Absolutely Fabulous, Kids in the Hall, The Firesign Theater, The National Lampoon Radio Hour, and every other anarchic, absurdist comedy team that came after them. So we got two episodes for you today. First up is the dreaded Batter Pudding Hurler of Bexhill-on-Sea, first broadcast in 1954. By the way, a batter pudding is a baked pudding made from a batter of eggs, flour, and milk, or water, also known as Yorkshire pudding. So whenever you hear them throw a batter pudding, think of a Yorkshire pudding and you'll know what they're talking about.
This is the BBC Home Service. Thank you. We now come to the radio show entirely dedicated to the downfall of John Snack.
He, of course, refers to the highly esteemed Goon Show. Stop! Time for laughs later. But now to business. Mr. Greenslade, come over here.
Yes, Master?
Tell the waiting world what we have for them.
My lords, ladies, and other national assistance holders, tonight the League of Burmese Trombonists present a bestseller play entitled
The Terror of Bexhill-on-Sea, or
The Dreaded Batter Pudding Hurler.
The English Channel, 1941. Across the silent strip of green grey water, in England, coastal towns were deserted, except for people. Despite the threat of invasion and the stringent blackout rules, elderly gentlefolk of Bexhill-on-Sea still took their evening constitutions.
It's quite windy on these cliffs, Minnie.
Yes, yes. What a nice summer evening. A typical English evening.
Yes. The rain is lovely and warm. Minnie?
Yes?
I think I'll take one of my sou'westers off.
You devil, you.
Here, Minnie, hold my elephant gun.
Oh, dear. I don't know what you brought it for. You can't shoot elephants in England, you know.
Why not?
They're out of season.
Does this mean we shall have to have pelican for dinner again?
I fear so. I fear so.
Then I'll risk it. I'll shoot an elephant out of season.
You can't shoot an elephant out of season. Elephants mustn't be.
Listeners who are listening will, of course, realize that Minnie and Henry are talking rubbish. As erudite people will realize, there are no elephants in Sussex. They're only found in Kent. North of a line, drawn between two points, thus making it the shortest distance.
Thank you.
Well, if that's how it is, I can't shoot any.
Come, Henry. We'd better be getting home. I don't want to be caught on the beaches if there's an invasion.
Neither do I, Minnie. I'm wearing a dirty shirt and I don't... Minnie?
Yeah. What?
Minnie, did you hear a gas oven door slam just then?
Don't be silly, Henry. You would be walking around these cliffs with a gas oven.
Lady Docker?
Yes, but apart from the obvious ones, who'd want to...
No, I've never heard of him.
Help, Henry. I've been struck down from behind, buddy. Help.
Oh, dear. Poor Minnie.
Help.
Police. English police. Law guardians.
Not too loud, Henry. Hey. They'll hear you.
Police of the law.
Can I help you, son?
Are you a policeman?
No, I'm a constable.
Oh. What is the difference?
They're spelt differently.
Help me, differently spelt constable.
Oh, what's happened to this dear old silver-bearded lady?
She was struck down from behind.
And not a moment too soon. Congratulations, sir.
I didn't do it.
Coward, hand back your OBE. Now, tell me, who did this felonious deed? What's happened to her?
It is much too dark to see. Yes. Strike a light.
Not allowed in blackout.
Strike a dark light.
No, madam. Madam, we daren't. Why, only 28 miles across the channel, the Germans are watching this coast.
Don't you be a silly pilly policeman.
Bravo, Henry. Bing.
Bitter poo. They can't see a little match being struck.
Oh, all right. Any questions?
Yes. Where are my legs?
Now are you aware of the danger from German long-range guns?
I have it. I've got it. I've got the answer. Just by chance, I happen to have on me a box of German matches.
Wonderful! Strike one. They won't dare fire at their own matches.
Of course not. Now. Yes! The British!
We tried using a candle, but it wasn't very bright, and we daren't light it. So we waited for dawn. And there, in the light of the morning sun, we saw what had struck Miss Bannister. It was a batter pudding.
It's still warm, Minnie.
Oh. Thank heaven. I hate cold batter pudding.
Come, dear little Minnie. I'll take you home with me, Minnie. I'll give you a hot bath, rub you down with the anti-vapor rub, put a plaster on your back, give your little feet a mustard bath, and then put you to bed.
Do you know this woman?
Devilish man!
Naughty man!
Naughty, horrible, naughty man! Of course I do. This is Minnie Bannister, the world-famous poker player. Give her a good poker and she'll play any tune you like.
Well, get her off this cliff. It's dangerous. Meantime, I must report this to the inspector. I'll call on you later. Goodbye! As I swam ashore, I dried myself to save time. That night, I lay awake in my air-conditioned dustbin thinking... Now, who on earth would want to strike another with a bap of pudding? Obviously, it wouldn't happen again. So I fell asleep. Nothing much happened that night, except that I was struck with a batter pudding.
It's all rather confusing, really.
In the months to come, 38 batter puddings were hurled at Miss Bannister. A madman was at large. Scotland Yard was called in.
Inspector Seagoon?
Yes?
My name is Hercules Gridpipe Thin, Special Investigation. This better pudding, Hurler.
Yes?
He's made a fool of the police.
I disagree. We were fools long before he came along.
You silly, twisted boy. Nevertheless, he's got to be stopped. Now, Seagun.
Yes, 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 yes.
Please, don't do that. Now, these batter puddings, they were obviously thrown by hand.
Not necessarily. Some people are pretty clever with their feet.
For instance?
Tom Cringingnut.
Who's he?
He's a man who's pretty clever with his feet.
What's his name?
Jim Flatcrock.
Sergeant Throat?
Yes.
Make a note of that.
Right, anything else? Sir?
Yes.
Right.
Now, Seagun, these batter puddings, were they all identical?
All except the last one. Inside it, we found this.
What? An army boot? So the dreaded Hurler is a military man. Any troops in the town?
The 56th Heavy Underwater Artillery.
Get there at once. Arrest the first soldier you see wearing one boot.
Ying Tong, Idle I Po.
Right, off you go.
Oh, how dare you come here to my HQ with such a ridiculous...
I tell you, Major Bloodlock, I must ask you to parade your men.
Why?
I'm looking for a criminal.
You find your own. It took me years to get this lot. Oh. Oh. I surrender the hour.
Ying Tong, Idle I Po.
Very well, then. Bugler Max Galdry, sound fall in the hard way. Lads, my dear, lovely, hairy lads, I'm sorry I had to get you out of bed in the middle of the day, but I'll see you get extra pay for this, I promise you. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. That's what I like, spirit. Now, Seagun, which is the man?
I walked along the serried ranks looking for the soldier with one boot. But my luck was out. The entire regiment were barefooted. All save the officers who wore reinforced concrete socks.
I say, Seagun, it's getting dark. You can't see in this light.
I'll strike a match. Curse, I forgot about the Germans.
We want our Bertie boys.
Who are you?
Me? I'm Lance Private Eccles, but most people call me by my nickname.
What's that?
Mick. That's a joke. I made a joke about the Mick.
I inspected the man closely. He was the nearest thing I'd seen to a human being without actually being one.
I say, Seagull, you... Surely you don't suspect this man. Why, we were together in the same company during that terrible disaster.
What company was that?
Desert Song, 1933.
Were you both in the doily cart?
Right in the doily cart.
I don't wish to know that.
AC, AC.
But wait! At last, by the light of a passing glue factory, I saw that Eccles was only wearing one boot.
Oh, well, I only got one boot.
I know, but why are you wearing it on your head?
Why? Why? It fits, that's why. That's a silly question to
ask. Let me see that boot. Size 19. What size head have you got?
Size 19.
Curse. The man's defense was perfect.
Oh.
Major Bradlock?
How dare you call me Major Bradnock?
That's your name.
In that case, I forgive you.
Where is this man's other boot?
Stolen.
By whom?
A thief.
You sure it wasn't a pickpocket?
Positive. Eccles never keeps his boots in his pocket.
Damn.
Damn. Damn.
They all had a watertight... They all had a watertight alibi. But just to make sure, I left it a fish tank overnight. Next morning, my breast pocket phone rang. Hello?
Mr. Seacomb, Minnie's been hit with another batter pudding.
Well, that's nothing new.
It is. This one was stone cold.
Cold?
Yes. He must be losing interest in her.
It proves also that the phantom batter pudding hurler has had his gas pipe cut off. Taxi!
Yes, sir. Hooray for Rule Britannia, poor old Joe.
The Bexhill gas works and step on it.
Very good, sir. Hooray. Here we go.
Listeners may be puzzled by a taxi sounding like bagpipes. The truth is, it is all part of the BBC New Economy campaign. They have discovered that it is cheaper to travel by bagpipes. And not only are they more musical, but they come in a wide variety of colors. See your local bagpipe officer and ask for particulars. You won't be disappointed.
It's all rather confusing, really.
Meantime, Neddy Seagoon had arrived at the Bexhill Gas and Coke Works.
Blimey. Anyone about?
Yes, but anyone on top of you?
Good.
Yeah.
I'd like a list of people who haven't paid their gas bills.
You don't have a lot of moment.
Thank you. Now, here's a good list. I'll try this number. I think we've got him this time. Hello?
10 Downing Street here.
I'm terribly sorry. Oh, no, it couldn't be him. Who would he want to throw a batter pudding at? Hello, police here.
This is Mr. Attlee. Someone's just thrown a batter pudding at me.
Months went by. I couldn't stop them. Still no sign of the dreaded hurler. Finally, I walked the streets of Bexhill at night, disguised as a human man. Then, suddenly... Nothing happened. But it happened suddenly, mark you. Disappointed, I lit my pipe. Curse those Germans.
Oh, pardon me, my friend.
I turned to see the speaker. He was a tall man wearing sensible feet and a head to match. He was dressed in the full white outfit of a Savoy chef. Around his waist were tied several thousand cooking instruments, and behind him he pulled a portable gas stove from which issued forth the smell of batter pudding.
Could I borrow a match? You see, my gas has gone out and my batter pudding was just about to start browning.
Certainly. Here. No. Keep the whole box. I have another match at home.
So rich. Well,
Thank you, monsieur. You have saved my batter pudding from getting cold. As you will agree, there's nothing quite so bad as being struck down with a cold batter pudding.
Oh, yes?
Of course. Well, good night, monsieur.
Good night. I watched the strange man as he pulled his gas stove away into the darkness. But I couldn't waste time watching him.
My job was to find the dreaded batter pudding hurler.
On December the 25th, the hurler changed his tactics. That day, Miss Bannister was struck with a Christmas pudding. Naturally, I searched the workhouse.
Shigun, the hurler is abroad.
What's that, sir?
A Miss Bannister has just received this letter. It was postmarked Africa. And inside was a portion of batter pudding.
Yes, he hasn't forgotten me, buddy.
So he's in Africa. Now we've got him cornered. I must leave at once. Where is my power-packed giant assistant? Blue Bottle!
Yay! I heard you call me, my captain. I had my captain call me. Wait for audience applause, not a sausage.
Blue Bottle, you and I are going to Africa.
Goody, goody. Can we take sandwiches?
Only for food. Any questions?
No.
I can't answer that, can you?
No.
Ignorant swine. Got that down, Sergeant's throat?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Right, we catch the very next troop convoy to Algiers. And who better to drive us out of the country than Ray Ellington and his quartet?
That old man River, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He keeps on rolling, keeps on rolling along. He don't plant taters, he don't plant cotton, and them that plants them is soon forgotten. But old man River keeps on rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body or leg in a wreck with pain. Took that barge, lift that bale, gets a little drunk and you lands in jail. And he's weary and sick of trying, tired of living and feared of dying. But old man River keeps rolling along. But don't say nothing, he keeps on rolling, keeps on rolling along. He don't plant taters and he don't plant cotton, and them that plants him is soon forgotten. But old man River, he keeps rolling along. Yes, you and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and racks with pain. Took that barge, lift that bale, he gets a little drunk and you lands in jail. Weary and sick of trying, tired of living and feared of dying. But old man River keeps rolling along, rolling away, Beck's Hill way. That old man River, he keeps rolling along.
Now,
Seagoon and Bluebottle traveled by sea. To avoid detection by enemy U-boats, they spoke German throughout the voyage, heavily disguised as Spaniards.
As an added precaution, they traveled on separate decks and wore separate shoes on different occasions.
The ship was disguised as a train. To make the train seaworthy, was done up to look like a boat and painted to appear like a tram.
All rather confusing, really.
Also on board were Major Bradlock and his regiment. When we were 10 miles from Algiers, we heard a dreaded cry.
Mine ahead! Dirty big mine ahead!
I say, what's happening here? Why are all these naughty men cowering down on the deck, the cowards?
There's a mine ahead.
Mine?
Funny, he wasn't dressed for swimming.
Oh, here! There's no need to worry, fellas, about the mine. It's one of ours!
Oh.
Lednock and I floundered in the cruel sea.
Fortunately, we found a passing lifeboat and dragged ourselves aboard.
We had no oars, but luckily we found 2 outboard motors and we rowed with them.
Brilliant.
For 30 days we drifted to and fro. Then hunger came upon us.
Oh. If I don't eat soon, I'll die of hunger. And if I die, I won't eat soon. Wait a moment. Can I smell cooking, or do my ears deceive me?
He was right. Something was cooking. There in the other end of the lifeboat was a gas stove. Could this be the end of our search?
I'll knock on the oven door.
Just a minute, please. I'm in the bath.
Hello. Good morning. You?
Yes. Remember Beck's Hill? I lent you the matches.
You don't want them back?
Then move. I arrest you as the dreaded batter pudding hurler.
Sacre bleu.
Hands up, you devil. Don't move. This finger is loaded.
If you kill me, I promise you, you'll never take me alive.
Wait, how can we prove he's the hurler?
That batter pudding in the corner of the stove is all the evidence we need. We've got him.
But it wasn't so easy. 40 days they drifted in an open boat.
Oh, I tell you, Sigurd, let's eat the batter pudding or we'll starve.
No. Do you hear me? No. That's the only evidence we've got. Though I must admit this hunger does give one an appetite.
We must eat it or die.
Never.
Very well, then. I shall stop playing my violin.
And that, we fear, is the end of our story, except, of course, for the end. We invite listeners to submit what they think should be the classic ending. Should Sigurd eat the batter pudding and live, or leave it and, in the cause of justice, die? Send your suggestions on a piece of batter pudding. Meantime, for those of you cretins who would like a happy ending, here it is.
Darling, darling, will you marry me?
Of course I will, darling.
Thank you. Good night. That was The Goon Show, a recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe, and Spike Milligan with the Railington Quartet and Max Geldray. The orchestra was conducted by Wally Stott, script by Spike Milligan, announcer Wallace Greenslade, the program produced by Peter Eaton.
What is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.
A center for ants?
What?
We're a radio station broadcasting from UBC Vancouver.
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
V visit CITR.ca.
Derek, it's just a...
I don't want to hear your excuses! The center has to be at least... 3 times bigger than this.
We continue now with The Goon Show, the British comedy radio show that inspired all other British comedy for the past 65 years. And now, from March 1957, the histories of Pliny the Elder.
This is the BBC Light Program. History for schools. Question one, how do you spell C-A-T?
Cat. Well done!
Question two, name two English queens called Elizabeth.
Jim.
Question three, what is the Goon Show's first name and give an example of?
That's a trick question, Wallace. And so here is a trick answer entitled, The Histories of Pliny the Elder.
And so in the year XL111 BC, Julius Caesar set foot on the British shore and was greeted by the natives.
Hello. Vini, vidi, vici. Eh?
I came, I saw, I conquered.
Oh. Fine, fine. Well, I'm just going in for a dip. Give the old kippers a steam. Oh-ho!
Brutus Mariatus, seize that Briton and prepare him for a life of slavery.
Ave, Sexton, to Caesar. Cave! Here comes another Charlie Britannicus.
When you tramping along the high road, with your chest all upside down, hallo-hooks! Who cares?
Gad, he's up early.
He must be one of the early Britons.
Quiet, you few months centurion. Tell the men to pull the galley ashore, quickly.
I've had it straight away.
Ah, good morning.
I know. I see your boat's all loaded up. Go in now, the lighthouse.
You savage English fool. This is the Imperial Julius Caesar. We are Romans. Prepare yourself for combatus.
Right, all right, all right, right, all. Ah, go and get our lads together. Only being Sunday, they'll be in the pubs, you know.
So the Romans want to take the field against us, do they?
That's right, Britannicus. They're very keen to have a do with us, you know.
Oh.
And you never know. We might win.
Win? No, we mustn't. We don't want to spoil our record.
Oh. Well, what'll I tell them, then?
Well, tell them to put their goal on the edge of the cliffs. That'll give their goalie a bit of a rough time, won't it?
You don't care, do you? Right, though. Kick off 2:30, then.
Splendid, splendid.
Oh, yes, all right, yes.
And so the Britons, in their blue woad, took the field before the might of the Roman army.
Brutus Mariatus here. What kind of army is this that takes the field in blue jerseys with a ball at their feet?
Must be some kind of trickers. Look, they're forming up.
That must be their signal to attack.
Forward, men, advance us!
I say, they're
here.
They're a rough lot, these Romans. You know.
What? What's this? Why have we stopped for?
Rough play, that's what we stopped for, I'll tell you, boy. Every time I come up the wing, your outside right swats at me with a dirty big sword.
Hey, what is all this hold-up about?
Well, it's rough play, that's what this...
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, and then, Jack.
Yeah.
We don't all with all this javelin practice when the ball's in play. And another thing, you're only allowed 11 men on the field. I've counted 693 of yours so far.
All right, I'll send one off.
Right. Hang on!
The result? Romans 900, England 3. War, stop play.
Like a mighty octopus, the legions of Rome spread across England. For 10 years, Caesar ruled with an iron hand, then with a wooden foot, and finally with a piece of string. How much of this could Britain take?
Oh, Caesar, I come to sing melodies divine to you.
Sing on, proud minstrel.
Thank you. Oh, Caesar is unknown. The king of the great in the hood. A gentleman every inch of him, from his feet to his head of a brown.
Mariatus, this man is a bit of a crawler. Why does he follow such a profession, Mariatus?
For money, Caesar. He tells me he wants to die rich.
And so he shall. Give him the sack of gold and then strangle him.
Yes, Caesar. I see that 10 years in Britain have not changed your imperial Roman outlook, Caesar.
True, Mariatus. All was a Roman eye.
Will you take wine?
No, thanks. I think I'll have a half of mild and a packet of crisps.
Caesar, Caesar.
Oh, it's Stomachus Grossus.
Caesar, there is an angry rabble outside. We have their leader captive.
Is he bound?
Of his health, I know not, sir.
Bring him hither, sir.
Take your hand off me. You want to catch something? Ah, so you're Julius Caesar, eh?
Caesar is all things to all men.
Oh, it must be hell in there. Sanitas, Sanitas. Look here, Mr. Caesar. We've just discovered why you've been here 10 years. You've conquered us.
Well?
Well, get out, I mean, get out. Or we shall ban midweek matches and midweek cigarettes as well.
Beware, Britannicus Bloodnucus. The gods are angry.
I know, I've just been hit by a rotten tomato. Oh, the bird, the bird.
Why don't you stop him, Julius Caesar?
How can I when I'm playing the part of Bloodnuck?
Now, listen. Now, listen us. For this rebellion, Bloodnuckus, you will be thrown to the wolves.
Not that team, no. I'm a London man, please.
Good, Britannicus. You have one alternative.
What?
You'll be freed, providing you give us 4 good men for the Colosseum Games in Rome.
Yes, I got some likely English charlies who would suit you perfectly. They were very successful at the Scottish Games.
Did they do well?
Very well. They managed to get away with their lives, you know.
Very well. Deliver those men to Caesar's royal barge at XXIXXI in a half hour's tomorrow.
I'll do that. And here is the first one, Maxeltius Geldrascus.
I hope he does better than that.
And so, some months later, a Roman slave galley drew nigh to Ostia.
In! Out! In! Out!
Have you ever rode a galley before, Achilles?
Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Oh, no, I've never done this before.
Faster, you dogs!
He wants our dogs to go faster.
Silence, you scum!
He wants our scum to go silent.
Or do you want a taste of the lash?
No, thanks. I just had some cocoa.
Oh, look, they're bringing a new slave from the reserve.
Goody!
Let me go, you devils! How dare you? Take your hands off me! How dare you chain me to this oar? I shall write to the Times about this.
Jim Shut up, you. It was perfectly quiet until you came along. You're not the only man chained to the oars, you know.
Now, listen to me, all of you.
All of me is listening to you.
I'm the Welsh chieftain, Caractacus Seagull.
Caractacus.
I, for one, will never surrender to the might of Rome. I'll fight them uphill and down, Mrs. Dale.
Wait a minute, how did I take you prisoner then?
I was in the bath. One day a year they could catch me with my socks off.
Must have been hell in there.
What are you going to do then, Caractacus? How can we file through these chains?
How?
How?
Yes.
This evening I received a cake from a friend. And guess what's inside?
You mean that?
Yes.
Raisins.
Stop that talking
in the
back there!
It wasn't me, sir. It was Harold Prott.
Stop, they wouldn't know that. More eggs, that's 10 feet and doors down.
That night, the galley docked at Ostia, and the slaves were put up for auction.
All right. Now then, come on now. What am I bid for these three British-type slaves? Echolos, a lovely piece of property, claims to be descended from his father. No bids? Come on, anybody now.
Three dinars!
You fool, you're up for sale as well. Oh. There you are, a chap of the initiative. All right, then. What about this last one? A pair of genuine English knees with a hat attached called Blue Buttonless. Can tie knots, rub two sticks together, and kill his grandmother.
I'll be 10,000 dinars a fee.
Sold,
this
Lord.
This way, lads. I've seen him.
I say, this is dash decent of you to buy us. Who are you?
Me, I do all the bookings for the Colosseum.
I've seen them.
Oh, you've seen them, eh? The Colosseum. Could you get us a couple of tickets?
You won't need any.
Oh. What's on?
You are.
Am I?
Yeah, tonight.
Better get the old Hobson's choice going, hadn't I? We keep a welcome in. I've done the palladium, you know.
I've got the lovely voice.
In the hillside. Me. Oh.
Lovely. Now try shouting help. That'll come in very useful. Right, now you wait in here, boys. I'll tell you when it's your turn to go on. It'll be all right.
I say, what a wonderful agent that fellow is. My first night in Rome and I've got a booking already. Oh, no, let's have a look at the program.
Oh, it's a good program.
Yeah.
What is the top of the bill?
Oh, it's got a lovely opening act. Let me see now. Captive East Finchley Boy Scout will fight four starving lions.
Oh. I do not like this lion game.
All right, baby.
Let me out of here.
You coward, Blue Bottle. Taste it like a man.
Yes. Well, look at the encore there. Caractacus Seagun will be strangled by a gorilla.
Let me out! The candidate to me!
shut up. It was perfectly quiet till you came along.
It's not for you. You're a sailor and sailors don't care. Now, don't panic, everybody. I've got a plan. We'll overpower the guards.
Yes.
All right, I'll take my boots off.
Good. Now, we'll get the keys and make our way down to the Tiber.
What's the Tiber?
Abbas Diner.
That's what they want?
I don't wish to know this. Please.
I say, look here. I say.
Can leave this prison.
Hello, boys and girls.
Here comes the guard now. Take that! Oh! Right! Run for it!
Thank you. And now, Ray Ellingbaum.
You made me love you. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me want you. And all the time you knew it. I guess you always knew it. You made me happy sometimes. You made me glad. But there were times, dear, you made me feel so bad. You naughty girl, you made me sigh for. I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to tell you. I want some love. That's true. Yes, I do. Indeed, I do. You know I do. Give me, give me, give me. Ooh, what I cry for. You know you've got the brand of kisses I will die for. You know you made me love you. This can't be love because I feel so well. No sobs, no sorrows, no sighs. No, this can't be love because I get a dizzy spell. My heart is not in the sky. My heart does not stand still just to hear it beat. This is too sweet to be love. This can be love because I feel so well. But still I love to look in your eyes. This can be love because I feel so well. No sobs, no sorrows, no sighs. I can't believe it. This can be love because I get no dizzy spell. My head is not in the sky. My heart does not stand still just to hear it beat. This is too sweet to be loved. This must be love because I love to lie in your arms. I used to have to come and run all the time. Now I'm feeling mighty fine. Yes, sir. This is love. Yeah. Oh. Merci, madame.
Through the catacombs, our heroes managed to reach the great water pipe that runs under the Via Appia, known, of course, in the army as the famous Appia Pipe.
All right, lads, I think we're safe now.
Oh, wait a minute, look, there's a manhole cover right above us.
Shine the beam of this candle on it.
Right.
I'll push it off. Eccles, stand on my shoulders and pull me up.
Okay. I'd like to see him do this on television.
Shall I put the manhole
I'll cover back now. Otherwise, if it rains, the hole will get wet.
No, leave it open. We don't want to lose the place. Shh, behind those bushes. Someone's coming, quick.
Look out.
Hey, Alexander, what the?
Little Jim! Thank you again. Grab my hand, foot, ear, nose, and teeth. Up!
Oh, I didn't see that hole, you know. You don't see them on the corners, you know.
Are you a Roman?
No, making the gloaming, are you? My name's Hannibal. You seen any elephants running down the road?
Elephants? You must be General Hannibal of Carthage.
No, mate, I'm William Hannibal. I look after the elephants of the Colosseum there. I'm a Battersea slave, mate, there.
How do you get captured?
Oh, yes, a lovely little boy. Well, it were my Saturday off, you see, and I was taking the dog for a ball, and this Roman fella come up and said, take your hat off, see, like that, and I does, and he said, that's a nasty lump on your bonce, and I said, where? And he said, there, and pointed it out with a dirty great club. When I come to, I feel me nut, and he was right. There was a dirty big lump on it, but it was too late by then. You see, I was carrying buckets for the elephants at the Colosseum.
But we are English-type slaves, too. Would you care to join us?
Why? Are you coming apart?
What's the year?
49 B.C.
That proves how old that gag is. That proves how old that gag is.
Yeah.
That proves how old that gag is.
Now. The government will issue a white paper now. That proves how old you are, too. Ha, ha, ha.
Now you can put the lid on.
I'll tell you what, mate. A lot of our lads joined an escaped gladiola called Spartacus from Portugal. He comes only from Portugal, Spartacus, you know.
Where is he?
He's hiding in the hole at the top of Vesuvius.
Let's to him!
God, help! Who goes there? Who goes there?
Escaped English slave!
Bonds and me recognize.
I am Cractic a Sigun. I come from Wales.
I can see you don't come from sardines, Jim.
nothing.
Thank you.
Hooray! Hooray!
I'll take you to Spartacus the Gladiola. Follow me. I'll knock.
Oh! Oh, just a minute. Oh, don't come in, please. I'm just changing my knees. Oh! Right, right. Now. Oh!
Britannicus Budluckus, how did you get to Italy?
Ask the writers. I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Yes.
You are Spartacus?
Yes, sir. I was forced to change my name, you see. I fell out with Caesar.
You fell out with Caesar?
Yes, sir.
How did that happen, us?
We were in a chariot and we hit a bump in the road. He went, oh.
It was me.
Come now.
It went, oh.
Come now. I want the truth and nothing but the truth.
Well, the truth is, how can I put it? You know that saying, Caesar's wife is above suspicion.
Yes?
Well, I put an end to all that rubbish. What a little beauty. Oh.
Are we safe here?
Are we safe?
Safe here?
My dear lad, we are actually inside the crater over an extinct volcano.
Thank heaven! Safe at last! I say, chaps! What? Hey, look! Oh. Look! Look! Oh.
Next week, History for Schools tells the story of the last days of Pompeii.
Well, is that the lot for the old series there, Wolf?
Yep.
Right, round about for the old brandy there.
That was the last of the present series of The Goon Show, a BBC recorded programme featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe and Spike Milligan with the Ray Ellington Quartet, Max Galbraith and the orchestra conducted by Wally Stott. Script by Spike Milligan and Larry Stevens. Announcer, Wallace Kingslade. Bobby Jay has been on the mixing panel, and the special effects were supplied by Ian Cook and Ron Bilshay. The production was by Pat Dixon.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam, Nisiam, Nisiaya,
and the Sakhuya, Talitin, Homusqueam, Mustail. Hello, this is Kestrels from Halifax, Nova Scotia, and you're listening to UBC Radio, CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Vancouver experimental rockers New Age Doom teamed up with ice-edged Norwegian vocalist Tuva Band to create a one-of-a-kind collab album called There Is No End. Hear the album critics are raving about. Pitchfork called it
a mix of dark folk, drone, deep dub, and free jazz. A multi-layered triumph.
And Mojo gave it 4 stars, describing it as
sophisticated, dramatic, and emotionally layered.
Listen to There Is No End.
What's up? You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Welcome back to Chopped and Screwed, the show on all things sampling. I was just listening